Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this radio program, the Satsang, as we like to call it, is for Sunday, April the 9th, 2017, and I'm more than grateful to be with you as we take a look at what I call bits and pieces, little things that people have sent to me over the last month or two after listening to the radio program. And watching my TV programs, both on the website here at aspire.org and on YouTube. We're going to be looking at some interesting things that people interpret from what I say and what I teach, and I thought it would be fun for all of us. I want to remind you that these radio programs, as well as our TV programs, are on the website at aspire.org, in the ethers, on TV and everything, due to the support of our sponsors. It is only through their tax-deductible gifts that we are allowed to be here on radio, and I want to remind you of how important your gift is. And if anything I offered to you as of service and you see the value, the bigger picture of it all, which is what I hope you see, you might want to consider becoming a sponsor. A sponsor is a person who supports us quarterly or monthly and gets for their gifts not only the knowledge of serving humankind, but the message of the month sent to them each and every month, as well as 122 discourses that I've done for all of my TV programs over the years. They're all there for you as a sponsor, as well as my podcast, video cast, and commentaries. So you get a lot for being a sponsor. It's my way of thanking you for your love and support, which is the only way any of this can ever happen. Please, I know you think that all I want is my money. That's not true. Really, all I really want is your attention, but I don't get that often. So your donations make it possible for me to help other people, maybe you, and to get that attention that I might be able to serve you, help you, and more than inform you, help you awaken in the process of your own unfoldment, which is what life is all about, spiritual unfoldment. Go to the website at aspire.org. You will see support in the menu bar. Pull down the menu and you will see why support Aspire, and it will give you all the information you would need to know. And again, all gifts are tax deductible. And let's get into this. Oh, this bits and pieces. People write me all the time, and I'm very grateful. I really am. I am grateful for the questions and the curiosities that people have about the practice and what it means. So I thought I would just gather together a few of them and offer them to you. The first one comes from Jay in Texas. I have a lot of listeners and viewers, believe it or not, in Texas. Who'd have thought? Why is it so hard to live, Greg? It's hard to live with people, find jobs. Your own family sometimes is very difficult. Why is everything so hard, or is it just me? Jay. You know, Jay, it reminds me, this question reminds me of a story that a young monk was walking with his master in the morning, taking their morning walk. And the young monk said, "Master, why is it so hard to understand the truth? Why is the way so difficult?" And the master looked at him and said, "Because it must pass through you. At the end of your question, you answered it. Is it me? It is me as Greg. It is you as Jay. It is all of us. We make our lives difficult because we don't see the bigger picture of our living. We just don't see it. We go about our life like this is all there is, this worldly life. But there is so much more. And I have to be able to step back into third person and be able to observe what it is that makes my life the way it does. What is it about me that makes all this possible, as I always say to my students? Now, when we step back and we look at it from that point of view, we get a ton of information coming to us. We get a ton of information about what we're doing, what we're not doing, what our life is about, what it's not about. You get to see what you and I are pouring into life. Now, there is this concept that people have that you can control your life, but this is simply not true. I can't control my life. People go to church, read books, Rich, How to Get Rich, and all that other stuff, to assume that if they manipulate their psychology in some magical way, that they're going to find something about their life that they can control. Money would be nice. Family would be nice. People would be nice. Jobs, things like that. They want to control everything they possibly can. But you have to understand, that's not the way this world works. You have a destiny and a fate to meet, Jay. And I don't know what that fate and what that destiny is. It was set into motion many, many lifetimes ago. And you are here to fulfill some very powerful and loving destiny, to heal some part of your life, of your many lives. And if you are willing to see that picture of it, if you're willing to understand the nature of that and see the bigger picture of that, you will find that you change many things in your lifetime. You will find that many things have a way of working out and showing you the meaning of themselves in your own life. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a meaning. Everything is significant. But we don't live like that. We don't live as though everything is significant. We live as if the only significant things are the things that are important to our gratifications, our emotionality. And that's as far as we go. We don't see anything more than that. And because that's the way we choose to live and that's the way we choose to have our way of life, we miss everything that is important. So we become subservient to our indifference. So it goes on and on that way. Nothing has meaning. Nothing has value. Everything's a chore. And the reason everything's a chore is because there's something in me resisting my own life. And that's the essence of it all. What am I resisting? What is it in me that keeps resisting, resisting, and resisting my own life? Typically, it's because we're not getting what we want. We have a design on our life that is different than the purpose of our life. And when I have a design that's different than the purpose, then everything goes off kilter. And I start thinking that I should be doing this and I want to get that and I shouldn't be doing that to get this. And before you know it, I've lost the spirit of my life. Most people do not have any spirit in their living. They just live to get what they want. They live for what they want. They live for the way they want to live, in the sense of having stuff and people. All of this clogs up my ability to let life flow to me and from me. And when I do that, that's when the difficulties arise. So, Jay, it isn't that it's hard. It's just that you have an agenda, probably, like all of us, and I had it too when I was younger. You have an agenda that is different than the life you're living. You have a design you want on your life, but you're not here to fulfill that design. So you hear these teachings from Jesus, all things are possible. What did he mean? Was he saying you should be able to be the president of the United States? Well, who'd want that? The king of Siam or something? All things are possible. There's no doubt about that. All things are possible, both for the sake of moving the mountain or not moving the mountains. You have to decide what those things that are possible are, and are they going to be important to your life? Are they going to serve you well? And I think you will find it is very difficult for most of us to live our lives serving two masters, the master of the world and the master of our desires. It splits us. It causes us to go into dualistic thinking, and that's where we fall apart. That's where our challenge is. When I have dualistic thinking, there is no possible way to have the oneness that is necessary to bring me into beauty and into life. Jay, I hope that helps you. Don't go into dualistic thinking. Don't make two masters. Just live simply. Live in kindness. Seek to serve, forgive, release, and above all, to achieve mercy in this life. That is the most powerful thing you could ever do, to seek mercy. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next question comes from Josh. And let's see, he doesn't tell me where he lives. Greg, do you believe in anything? When I listen to your radio programs or watch your TV programs, it seems to me you don't believe in anything. Could you state what you believe in? Josh. Could I state what I believe in? I believe in absolutely nothing. That's what I believe in. But I don't even know what you mean by belief. A fervent desire, a fervent obsession, some kind of obsessive compulsive idea that I have that makes me believe I'm a believer. To me, that's just ridiculous. The mind believes in what the mind believes in based on its relationship to my emotionality. If my emotionality is, let's say, concave, my mind will be complex. And if my attitudes and in my beliefs are about what I emotionally am fervent about, then that'll be what I'm fervent about. But that doesn't mean that I'm doing anything healthy. What is belief anyway? A standard, a rule? I don't have beliefs. I don't urge my beautiful students to try to believe. That's why they have churches. They need to have believers. And I leave that to the churches. But when you really realize that belief isn't the word you think it is, that's when something starts to occur within you that makes you question all of your beliefs. When Jesus uses the word belief from the Aramaic, to know, it comes to a place where you have to ask yourself, what do I authentically know? What do I absolutely know? What is it I can absolutely trust in? Now, in that belief, which is from the Aramaic, to know, to trust, what is it I trust in? No thing. No thing simply means not a thing, not a thought, not an emotion. No thing is the result of being aware of everything. Awareness is different than understanding. I can have much understanding about many things in this world. I can understand this, I can understand that, but that doesn't mean I'm aware. Awareness comes with meditation. Understanding comes with knowledge of putting pieces together and making a logic and a reasoning that fits the mentality of my brain, my psychology. So the hygiene of my psychology then serves the purpose of making me think that I believe. I believe that black is black and red is red and green is green. I believe that because that's what my logic and reasoning tell me based on the knowledge I have when I was a little boy and taught the names of the colors. But to have an awareness of the vibration of those colors, to have an awareness of their originality, their origins, to feel at one with those colors. Now, that's something that supersedes belief. And to come to that place, I can have to be empty. I must be totally empty of Greg's opinions, Greg's thoughts, Greg's ideas, Greg's desires, Greg's fears and emotionality and design on everything. I can't go into this with dualistic thinking. Again, the issue of our lives is our duality. So if I go into it with duality in mind, thinking in terms of duality, that is when something starts to go awry. I don't see things for what they are. I see them for the way I can think them to be. In no thing, in no longer being dualistic, things come alive. Everything starts to fit perfectly in the place in which they are in. And I start to realize what it means to feel love, to feel kindness, to feel a sense of beauty, to feel a sense of joy, real joy, not happiness, joy. So when all of that starts to emerge through my life, I am no longer thinking in concepts. Conceptual thinking leads to dualistic beliefs. Dualistic beliefs are, I believe in good, hence I don't believe in bad. I believe in right, I don't believe in what makes wrong. Yada, da, yada, da, yada. Now, there is no right and wrong. There is no dualistic thinking. There is the observation of everything. And here's the deal. Here's the kicker. It is futile. It is absolutely futile to have any belief that makes me separate, that splits me in half, that causes me to think that my left is better than my right. And if I can understand the awareness of how left and right can work together in a bigger picture point of view, that is when you've achieved a little something in your life. No longer will you be straining in the idea of futility. There are certain things, Josh, that are very difficult to teach people. They need the direct experience. If they don't get the direct experience of these things, then anything you say about them, like I am talking to you now, could mean very little. I have to truly sense the bigger picture, the bigger meaning of everything as it lives in its own nature and not opposed to my nature or what I think is right and wrong, possible or impossible. Complicated, isn't it? Kind of sounds that way, but actually it's not. When I am no longer willing to pit one idea against another, that is when something happens. And when I no longer see the value of pitting one thought against another or one thing against another or whatever, that is when everything starts to become deeply significant. Do I believe? In the traditional sense, probably no. In the spiritual sense, we all believe. I don't have a choice. In real belief, there is no choice. Everything is plain. Everything is apparent. Everything is relevant. So there's no need to believe or not believe. It just simply is. And I live in that isness, as do you, whether we are conscious of it or not. And that is it. there is nothing else, so be it. I hope that helps you, Josh. Don't be worried about what I'm about in that. Just think about some of the things we talked about here on the radio program today, and maybe that'll help you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Belief can lead to so many ugly things, like obsession, compulsion. Of course, obsession and compulsion come first, and then belief is over the top. It can also lead to prejudice and fear and hatred. It's a big deal. Last question from Kevin in San Francisco. I'm always confused about my life, decisions I have to make, and how to make the right ones. Do you have any suggestions? Oh, I'm giggling a little bit because everything is so subjective. In that subjectivity is objectivity, and there is always intuition. So I have to ask myself, am I intuiting this answer, or am I intuiting what I need to do to make the decision that is most appropriate for me? How am I doing that? What am I doing in that? And that's kind of a difficult thing, you know, when you think about it. I mean, you think about the way we live our life, how we live our life, what our life is all about. What are we doing here? What is the meaning of this existence? That whole thing. It's very important. Yes, you're probably confused because there are so many choices, and you're probably a pretty smart guy. So you can see the value of one thing over another and then see the value of that thing over what you were just evaluating, and it can get pretty confusing. Develop intuition, my dear friend. Sit quietly. Meditate. Work upon your emptiness. Seek to achieve it. In that emptiness, you will find intuition. Through intuition, you can find, well, answers to just about everything. In fact, everything. All it takes is just a little love and a little care. And if you feel that love and you do care, then you find the essence of everything. Intuition will make your decisions for you. You won't even have to make them. I have come to a point where I don't even have to think about it anymore. Now it just keeps occurring. It keeps manifesting. And I just go with it, into it, on it, through it. And I make everything difficult when I question it. So now I don't question it. If this is the way my life is to go, this is the way my life is to go. I don't think in terms of being happy or unhappy. I don't think in terms of getting what I want or not getting what I want. I just allow things to come into my life and leave my life. And if they leave, I want them to leave in the same way they came, without, you know, hatred or fear, desire or ambition or pride or any of that. Everything comes, everything goes. Everything has a purpose, and everything that is purposeful, as it were, has a deeper context to it that my mind cannot operate in the human form. It can operate in the spiritual form, but not in the human form. So when I am in the flow of my heart and I'm intuiting things, I start to see the value of everything. I start to acknowledge the value of what it is to know things before they happen, as they happen, and even after they happen, and see the bigger picture. So don't be confused. Rumi said, sell your cleverness and buy confusion, buy bewilderment. It is only through bewilderment, Rumi says, that we enter into God. I understand what he is saying. And if you do, it'll change your life. Oh, thank you, Kevin. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Thank you for listening. Thank you for another wonderful weekend. I'll be back on the air next weekend, and I hope you'll tune in. And please, please forgive me. Namaste.